telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom.
What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Boy, folks, strap in. Put your pith helmets on. We have a packed show today. You're not going to want to miss any of it. We're going to start right out with two fantastic guests. One who is a regular guest and co-host, Tom Paulswitz, a man I like to call one of the most reasonable people in politics, along with Colin Seeberger of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. And then towards the end of this hour, everybody, I am going to be joined by one of my personal heroes. South Carolina Congressman Jim Clyburn is going to be joining me. What a privilege to be joined by Representative Clyburn. We're going to be talking about what the Biden-Harris administration has gotten done for Black folks in advance of a celebration of Black excellence tomorrow in the White House Rose Garden. 3 p.m., it is time to talk money on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'll be joined by CEO Bob Lord. You always want to hear that segment. 3:30, actress Kate Walsh of Grey's Anatomy fame is going to join me. 3:40, we're going to have County Executive David Crowley. I don't even know if I'm going to have time to breathe. So let's not waste any more time, folks. Colin Seeberger, welcome. You are an expert on Project 2025. Thank you for making time, sir.
Oh, it's great to be here with you, Maggie. Thanks for having me.
And Tom, great to have you here. Tom Paulswitz, if you haven't heard from him before, folks, he's a Navy veteran, a small business owner, and a two-time congressional candidate in one of the toughest districts before the maps were redrawn after the last census, covering a great big swath of Waukesha. Thanks so much, Tom, for being here to co-host with me today.
Oh, my pleasure. And what a great topic to be talking about.
Absolutely. But let's start with the news of the week, and then we're going to dig right into Project 2025. Colin, I'll start with you. What did you think about the debate?
I thought the debate was really clarifying.
Yes.
You know, Vice President Harris talked about, you know, taking the country in a new direction, right? Talking about how we build opportunity for more people. And then you had Donald Trump, who was out there talking about the past and getting political revenge against his enemies, you know, talking about what freedoms and rights he's been proud to strip away from Americans, right? And so I think, you know, I think the debate was really clarifying about the two different visions. I also think that we saw one person who clearly demonstrates they have the character, the intellect, and the strength to lead this country, and one who is just completely, completely unqualified.
Yeah, pretty stark. Tom, what was, when you began watching it, Tom, I thought she was winning like right out of the box. I know people are like, oh, her first answer was a little. Nope. I thought she was winning. She laid out a couple of really key proposals to help middle class folks, including small business owner. Tom, what were your initial reactions as the debate got underway?
Well, I think my wife and I were actually watching it at a local restaurant for in the beginning, and we had to keep checking ourselves to not be laughing too much out loud. But I think the key point for me was that he was so easily triggered, and his demeanor is clearly not presidential. But, you know, you had to believe that his handlers had talked to him about this. He had worked on it, but it was clearly so easy for her to be able to do it. And to me, I really thought by her doing that showed how much strength she had in situations, especially dealing with other world leaders and in crisis. That to me is what we really want in a commander in chief and a president.
Yeah, it was the split screen that went on throughout that entire debate was all you needed to watch, basically. You know, the pundits always say, if you want to know who's winning a debate, mute and just watch. And if you were just watching and there was no sound, there was one winner. Her name was Kamala Harris. He looked terrible. Yes. One of the key moments in the debate, and I think part of what Democrats have been really successful at, is really putting the yoke of Project 2025 around Donald Trump's neck. There is no daylight between the Heritage Foundation and the, by some measures, upwards of 200 former Trump administration officials that helped architect Project 2025. That is Donald Trump's detailed policy plan, period, full stop. Now, Brian, I'm going to ask you, I didn't note this in our show notes today, but I think you've got the sound from the ABC news cuts yesterday. Before the end of the segment, or before we have to say goodbye to Colin, I'd love to listen to Trump denying any knowledge of Project 2025 from the debate, because, of course, that's a lie. And we've got the sound that shows that that's a lie as well. So, folks, you're not going to want to miss that. But let's dig into Project 2025, Colin. You have been looking at this and studying it since it was published. And before the show, Colin, you and I had a interesting discussion because you wanted to point out what you see as an absolutely key distinction between previous policy documents that are wonky and detailed, which right-leaning and far-right organizations like the Conservative Heritage Foundation, the Federalist Society, et cetera, have come out with before, and this document. You said there's a big difference. What's the difference between this? Why is this so scary as compared to some of these other policy proposals in the past that had some of these same elements in them?
That's exactly right. And I think the key distinction that folks need to know about Project 2025 is this is really a plan to gut our system of checks and balances. We've never actually seen the most influential far-right policy group in the country come out and wholesale endorse authoritarianism.
Right.
An authoritarian playbook to basically reinvent the country and shove all these unpopular policies down our throats. But that's exactly what Project 2025 does. It does it through a few, core ways, some of which Donald Trump has been out there talking about wanting to do this week. Last weekend, he talked about throwing his political opponents in jail. Well, Project 2025 calls for eliminating the longstanding independence of key federal agencies like the Department of Justice. Project 2025 also calls for replacing 45,000 current civil servants, people like medical professionals at the FDA, climate scientists at the EPA, lawyers at the Department of Justice, right? These folks who are there to serve the public interest, calls for replacing them as political appointees is how they would be reclassified. And in so doing, they would argue strip them of their civil service job protections and allow a president to replace them with far-right MAGA loyalists. The plan also calls for empowering the FCC to strip people's licenses, right?
Broadcast licenses.
Yeah, which Donald Trump was out just yesterday complaining about ABC's moderators and saying that they should have their licenses ripped away, right? And not to mention the fact that Donald Trump and the key architect behind Project 2025, Russ Vought, who was his OMB director, have both explicitly called for bypassing Congress, ignoring laws that are passed by Congress, and illegally using impoundment powers. So you don't like Wisconsin because they vote for Kamala Harris? Well, Donald Trump thinks that he should be able to withhold funds from Wisconsin.
Right.
Right.
Congressionally appropriated funds. This one is a big deal, folks. All of it's a big deal, in my opinion, as someone who is an institutionalist,
yeah.
Right, and believes in the separation of powers. Impoundment, this idea, it's a technical term, but everybody remembers from civics class, or at least should remember,
Schoolhouse Rock, Maggie.
Yeah, that's exactly. How does a bill become a law? And that Congress, the legislature, holds the power of the purse. They are the ones that appropriate. Once a budget and appropriations are adopted, it is basically not discretionary. Now, some timing can be. But the idea that a president would punish states that he views as not sufficiently politically aligned by withholding critical federal funding is grotesque.
Yeah, it's completely un-American.
Yes.
Right? The president's job is to faithfully execute the laws that Congress passes. That's not what Donald Trump nor Russ Vought have endorsed, right? They're talking about something that is completely post-democratic, right?
Yeah.
Basically modeling the behavior of authoritarians like Viktor Orban, who Donald Trump was out there,
the
was out there, singing the praises of And I think it's really important for your listeners to know democracies do backslide.
Yes.
This is not hypothetical. The same playbook that I just described about gutting our system of checks and balances, we've seen play out in former democracies left and right all yes. across the globe. And what's unique is that this is happening here in America.
Right. As we speak. Tom, I wanted to ask you this. You have run in a congressional district that is, by historical precedent, very conservative. Has conservatism, has the GOP simply become the party of authoritarians? I mean, I'm finding it hard to identify any conservative principles left in the party of MAGA.
Yeah, I think there's a schism, though. I think there are still some, what I would call, you know, hardcore Republicans from pre-MAGA era that still believe in the rule of law and still believe that we need checks and balances within the government. They're few and far between, though. But Colin, I do want to say this about the plan. It is a plan, and I think we've heard Trump say over and over again he has a plan, but he doesn't really have a plan. And what he said in the debate was he has concepts of a plan. So to me, though, this whole concept and the thing that's driving it is it's really gutting the ability of the federal government to do what it needs to do. And it comes down to two political parties, one believing that the government does not have a role in our daily lives and one that does. And to me, the difference can't be more stark, especially when it comes to civil servants. And you hit it right on the head. They want to replace thousands and thousands of civil servants with loyalists. And these are people who will do whatever the president wants them to do versus what's good for the American people.
And it's going to be the B team, because no one with any integrity will work for the man anymore. It's literally the JV squad that he's rousting up for Trump 3.0. Folks, keep it locked. I'm joined this half hour plus by Colin Seeberger of the American Center for American Progress Action Fund and one of the most reasonable men in politics, Tom Paulswitz. We'll be back with more Project 2025 after these brief messages.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves. She doesn't have a plan. Take a look at her plan. She doesn't have a plan.